Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the High Vibe Tribe podcast. I am your host, Marcy Newman, known as the Heart Shift Coach, and we are just in for such a treat today because I have the most wonderful guest, and her name is Kirsty Elizabeth. Kirsty, hello.
Hello, Marcy.
Now, as you can hear from that little tidbit, you can hear a wonderful accent. Where are you from, Kirsty?
Well, I'm from England, but I actually live on a very small little island at the bottom of the UK.
Oh, how interesting that must be.
It's a beautiful, beautiful energy here. Very spiritual energy.
Well, all I can tell our audience is that it is that beautiful energy that attracted me to Kirsty. So, as many of you know, I often will start my day off with a verse from A Course in Miracles, and it goes like this. Where should I go? What should I do? Who should I speak to? And what should I say? And what very often happens is when I go, particularly into Facebook, I will find that all of a sudden there is someone new who has come into my energy field that I am resonating with on such a deep level that I'm actually drawn like a magnet into their energy. And that is exactly what happened with Kirsty and I. And so I couldn't wait to get her on this show to share her with you. So before we even begin talking, I just want you, our audience, to close your eyes and take a nice deep breath in right through your heart and connect to what Kirsty and I will be talking about today, because it's evolving. It's coming as an unfoldment from this vibrational frequency that we share. And I'm sure that you're feeling right now exactly what I feel. So, Kirsty, we're going to jump right in. All right. So, I'd love for you to share with the audience a little bit about how you got started in the work that you do. Your work is of such a high vibrational frequency. You work with the guides, the angels, and source energy in such a beautiful way. I've noticed that your posts themselves are of such a high vibrational frequency, filled with light always, and with very clear messages from the guides. So, was this always a gift that you had?
Marcy, as I'm sat here now, I wish you could see my little face beaming. As a beautiful energy, as you asked us to connect, has come right behind me and is just fueling this whole conversation. This energy is our wanting of humor. So it wants us to have fun with this conversation. But the funny things in life that happen to you, of course, you know, I did not start anything like, you know, coming into the world, showing signs of being some sort of somebody who could connect with spirit and have that sort of ability. This happened over time. And it all began really when I had my first child. And so I'm absolutely convinced that somehow through that system of giving birth, that opening of the chakras that can't happen to you in any other way, dramatically accelerated my connection. And the child that was born is my son, and he and I have had amazing journeys together of trying to get proofs and understandings between us, not on his part, but by accident. And I've just had this tremendous acceleration of connection with some sort of high energy in recent times, through very difficult circumstances, that have just come to me and asked me to be brave and step up and to get to speak to those individuals who feel either highly sensitive, lacking in confidence, or worried sick about the current state of affairs in the world. And so my background is actually a school teacher, and I did that for over 20 years, brought up my children, and tried my best to be a normal human being. But unfortunately, Spirit World did not have that plan as my life. As a young adult, they started to interfere and arrive and wanting to give proofs. And so I had to start learning how to deal with it and how to not let them have control. And so this is where you're seeing me now, quite a high resonating level. This has taken a lot of experience, a lot of listening, a lot of hardships and heartbreaks to be able to listen carefully enough to a message of love that's not of ego. Does that help?
It does help. And you know, there are so many questions that are coming up, but I have to say, for our audience, in particular, those of the High Vibe Tribe, I have shared a number of Kirsty's posts, and you can feel immediately that this is what we call channeled information. This is coming from a higher place in Kirsty. It is not of ego at all. There is so much light that flows through it. And of course, that is exactly why I connected with her so full on, without any doubt, without any question whatsoever.
Yes, because those people who know me as Kirsty, my friends, they don't have access to this type of energy or conversation. But when they see it, they recognize, they know that it's not me. Do you understand?
Of course.
And I'm hoping really that somehow you've got a little bit of that understanding from just how you just met me before we came on as myself, and the difference that happens when the guides connect.
Absolutely. And I'm sure we'll be seeing even more of that. But yeah. I appreciate so much a couple of the things that you said. So when you said that this, you know, first started to draw your attention to, you know, the guide started to draw your attention to what they were leading you to, you used the words that you didn't want them to be in control.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit more about that, because there may be those who are confused by that. Go ahead.
Well, when you're young and you first start to realize that you can see people and hear things that other people don't, the first experience you have is fear.
Mm-hmm.
And worry that you're going to be perceived as having either an illness or being a fantasist. Okay, so the first thing that comes to many sensitives, which is how I sort of explain my ability to connect, my nervous system is highly sensitive. Most sensitives are introduced to their gift actually by the darker side of the spirit world, by the nasty things. And so what happened to me was I was, you know, meeting nasty experiences and experiences that were coming to me when I didn't want them, such as in the night, you know, waking me up and wanting to talk. So I had to make a decision that, to me, that was invasive, especially when I was a young mother and I had it, you know, I was troubled getting to sleep as it was with a baby, and I didn't really want to be woken up by too many spirits. So I decided to go and train and learn how to do sort of mediumship and be involved in a spiritualist church, which I just did for a short period of time. But it gave me enough knowledge and wisdom looking around at other people who were ahead of me in that how the spirit world, you know, how there's different layers and who you need to listen to and who is just bothering you.
You know, I think this is so important, Kirsty, especially now, because Because there are so many light workers that are coming forwards, right? So many sensitives that are coming forward. And on one hand, they know that they are being called to be present during this time. And on the other hand, as you said, it can be scary. And I'm also actually recognizing within our world, you know, the world of light workers, that there are some who actually feel pressured that they must perform on a certain level. And I love what you're sharing, because you're so right on. We still must decide how we want to serve.
Exactly.
And allowing that to be in the forefront of our development is essential. We must utilize free will under every circumstances. And so I thank you so much for sharing that and how, what it took for you to become more and more comfortable in allowing the energy to flow through you. You know, I totally understand, and I've experienced myself, and others have as well, that we do experience so much contrast, right? And it is always that question, well, you know, which energies do you want to start to work with here?
You know, that is such a vital point in this current world, because there is so much confusion at the moment on the 3D level, should we call it, just the normal level of where I, as Kirsty, would go and sit and just maybe watch the news. There is so much that we need to be discerning about and understand and intellectualize that's being put to us at the moment. But it is, I've always promoted the fact of being a skeptic as a psychic and bringing things to the point where they must be honored as proofs before they're spoken. And I hold that really strong with my guides. You know, if I'm going to do anything or say anything, I see a lot of things and I don't speak about all of them. And the guides have tried to explain me that I need to see more than I say for a reason. And they've been trying to teach me lately about what I can see and know and what I must say and how to voice it. So I'm almost becoming a broadcaster on their behalf at the moment. So I've had to learn to trust really that this is coming from the right source and it's not just me making this up or having some sort of mental breakdown or going into some sort of fantasy land. This has taken years of getting to this point of getting enough proofs to trust and to know that the guides are speaking. And if you look at my Facebook posts, as you just scroll through, I'm sure you will identify which of those posts are written as channeled when there is a guide and which are just me. You can see a real clear difference, you know, in the type of words that are used and the way that it's spoken. At home, I have a rule that if I'm sat in a certain chair writing on the internet, that no one speaks to me, because if they interrupt me, I can't get back into the link and I don't know what they were trying to say and I can't make it up.
I can so relate to that. Oh my gosh, I can so relate to that. Yes. And very often, you know, I also will be channeling and someone will ask me a question about it and I will have no idea. None. Because you're right. It's getting back into that vibrational frequency once we're interrupted is difficult.
It just feels like you come down to land with a bump.
Yes.
And it's like waking up. It's like someone's woken you up all of a sudden. It's just like a jolt.
Yes.
You know, it's such a weird feeling.
But it's such a perfect description. Perfect. Yeah. So, Kirsty, I want to talk about something else that you had said, and that was, you know, some of the experiences that you had had that have contributed to this development of yours, which again, I just need to talk with our audience for a moment. And that is, for me to say, it's extraordinary. And you know that when I say that, I mean that. because I've been in this work for 45 years. And I know a high vibrational frequency on angelic realms when I feel it. So I know also that you've had some particular challenges in the last couple of years that I wonder if we can talk about, because I have a sense that it is going to bring a deeper level of understanding for a great amount of people.
That would be wonderful if that did work, but I will have a go at explaining to you.
Okay.
Obviously, if I just go back and explain, I was a teacher for a long time, and spirit world were what I would call involved very much with my work. I became a head of department, head of special needs children, and head of things such as children who were adopted, children who had behaviour problems, any issues was my area. And it got to the point where people were asking me, how did you cotton on to this? And how did you cotton on to that? And how do you know this? And how do you know that? And of course, it was because things were happening to me. For example, a head teacher that I worked with a long time ago, I came out of my classroom and found that she'd been knocked unconscious by an accident. Obviously, she'd tripped and hurt herself and hit her head on a brick wall. And I found her lying unconscious, and I just sat with her quietly. And of course, I was concerned, first aid and make sure all the things. But as I'm sat with her, a lady appeared looking over this, my boss, and was saying, oh, look at her. Here she goes again. Oh, she's always doing things like when she was a kid, she was always falling over and always, oh, two left feet, typical, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, excuse me, I'm trying to actually save this lady's life.
Wow.
She's like, oh, she's all right. She's tough. But, when I was a kid, I had to, and she was telling me all these things about her life. And it was getting to the point where these things were happening to me on a daily basis. And, obviously this lady, my boss, got better and recovered and was back to work. And then she asked to see me. And in the meeting, I decided to just tell her what had happened, and she just sat open mouthed and she just looked me in the eyes and said, is this what you really do? And I just said, yes. And she just nodded. And then it was like, okay, now back to the board meeting, But she said to me, that was my auntie. And she said, everything you told me, exactly correct. So these incidents happened to me almost daily. Right. So that's in the level of proofs I'm talking about, of seeing spirit and knowing that what they're saying is correct. All sorts of weird stories like that I've got. But my recent story is that I, 3 years ago, I went through a patch where I lost three relatives who were very close, all female and all different ages. And it just brought such a shock to the family. One was only 18, who had an undiagnosed heart problem. He just suddenly had a heart attack just before going to university. Another was my sister-in-law, who collapsed aged 40, and leaving my brother a widower at age 42. And these incidents impacted my life in a way that I just didn't understand. I thought I had to be the one who helped everybody, fixed them, made it better. I felt a huge responsibility because I could see the spirit world, and I just felt that I should be connecting these people and telling them, but my family didn't have that sort of communication or that expression. It wasn't There's only a certain few members of my family, such as my mum, that I'm really lucky to have, that I can talk honestly about my experiences with. So I went into this strange state of feeling that I couldn't help and save a situation. And it became an invisible problem to me that I was living with, that was resonating through me, that I just did not register, until one day I just could not get out of bed. And I spent 4 months hardly able to move. My mum and my children had to look after me. I couldn't get up hardly. It was just complete drain of energy. And it took me 2 years to, when I was ill, I was saying to the spirit world, who was still appearing to me and still bringing me people who needed my help, which I could tell you all about, but it's a different story, especially suicides. They were bringing me lots of suicide people who needed to talk because I was just sat in bed, you know. So 2 years later, which would have been last autumn, my guide appeared to me outwardly, which they don't do very often. So if they do that, you're like, uh-oh, you know. So I'm sat in bed and he's like, no, we need you now again. You start coming back, do your readings. Because at that time, when I was taken ill, I sort of set out as a reader and I was doing psychic readings and, you know, doing a little bit of work on the internet, but mostly working from a wellbeing centre nearby. And I'd got quite a big following in my local area, got to be quite trustworthy. And I'd started a little school and was teaching psychic awareness, mediumship, healing, all sorts of things. And it was getting very popular, but I'd had to close this all down when I became ill. And so I was saying to my guys, I'm never going back to this. It's made me ill. I don't want to return to it. And my guide appeared to me last autumn and was very clear, we want you to go back. I mean, he was lovely, but he was adamant. And I actually, my first reaction was to jump up and say to him, oh, no.
Anything like, but that.
Yeah. And he was like, no, we want you to start talking about the sensitive people. Mm-hmm. And we will bring you the right people. Because I said to him, I don't want to be bombarded with everybody wanting me to tell them their life and what's going to happen and who's going to win the lottery and, you know, which they do. And he said, no, we want a specific agenda. And then as that, I got the confidence to start talking to people, they were coming forward, lovely people. Every single one of them had the same illness that I've been diagnosed with. And more than anything, they didn't need a psychic reading. They needed to connect with someone who knew the illness. Because I spent 2 years researching it. And it's something that some people never recover from. And it's something that I will have to manage my whole life to make sure that I can stay balanced. And my guides are teaching me now still how, because I'm so high resonating and, you know, because of my spiritual gift, I'm in danger of burnout.
Mm.
And this is what they want to put across to many other light workers who may not have the understanding that, I've gained through that awful 2 years of thinking that I would never be able to cook for myself again. And, you know, I managed to get to the point where I could just walk my dog around the block and I was so pleased with myself, but then I'd have to sleep again, you know, and things like having a shower. Energy was gone so much that I'd just completely burnt right out. I had no physical energy. So I had to start from scratch. And all the things that I learned to teach others about back to the basics of the chakras, the mind-body connection. I had to go back and properly learn all of that. And I've got such a good understanding of that now as Kirsty that is, I feel, is going to be the way they want me to go forward to talk. Does that answer that?
It does. And it is absolutely essential information for us now. And I love how you emphasized coming back to basics, because yes, we do have a tendency to sometimes, you know, get off on these tangents, right? And think that expansion means that you leave the basics behind, but it's there to help us to ground, and yeah, how important that is for us to be able to expand.
Yeah.
And there's so much talk now. And again, I have to bring up this pressure, right, for ascension and moving into 5D and all of that. And this, the basics of our energy system hold the key for us understanding it all and being able to move through it. So,
One of my guides sat behind me, he's listening to you, and he's very laid back, got his feet up, and he's laughing away, and he's saying to me, he's listening, he's responding to what you're saying, and he's saying, the trouble is that they people think they know, think they've got all the answers.
Yes.
It's still ego.
Yes.
Yet he said that they'll still talk about don't be an ego, but they're tripping themselves up all the time. They can't see that's what's happening. And he wants to open people's hearts to, you said, getting back to basics, as I said, you picked that up. But that is one of the main messages that I'm getting, that spirit world want the sensitive type of people, the nurturers, the gentle natured people. That is what they want them to lead on. Even if that's things like going back to old recipes.
Yes.
Going back to crafting. While I've been unwell, my mum decided to teach me to crochet, and it's been an absolute blessing to me, because it's just been one stitch at a time. One, then another one, then another one. And it's helped me to bring myself right back. And this is one of the things that the guides want to talk about, that the leaders of the world at the moment, it's showing itself as if the people who speak the loudest are the winners, are the leaders. My guide is saying that the change of energy is not going to be this. This is currently all coming out. This is what we are seeing. You know, all these ego-based people who want to be noticed, sort of shouting and all having different opinions and very polarized as well, all coming from different directions, if you notice, you know, all different opinions. But the people that are sat in the middle with a heartfelt sensation of, well, I just want to love my family and eat healthily and look after myself and make the world a better place. They're the ones that the spirit guide wants to be aware of listening to us on this podcast, because mm-hmm. they are the ones who are going to be the instigators of the new era.
Well, it's what's necessary for the foundation. And so what was coming to me was, you know, this getting back to, you know, all of these words and terms that are being thrown around, and this sense of competition, you know, that people are feeling. And that's the pressure that I'm referring to, because there is no competition. And just exactly as you say, I feel the truth of all of this, that this is about us coming back to diving into what nurtures us, because it that nurturing actually provides nourishment. And then, of course, we now have energy to spare. But I had to laugh, Kirsty, because just the other day I was in the craft shop looking at yarn.
Brilliant.
I had not looked at yarn in 20 years.
Yes, because it's a manifestation of weaving.
Yes.
You know, and just like the spider guide is of weaving reality. You know, doing that little bit of crocheting, and I've made such lovely little things and kids, and they've just adored them. So I'm happy, you know, it's had an extra boost. But just sitting still and doing one moment in time and not thinking about trying to be Kirsty, a mum, a teacher, a spiritual god, anything, just sitting there quiet. I can't say how much I valued that.
Well, there's something, isn't there, about that mindfulness that opens the channels for communication?
Definitely. That's absolutely key. That's one of the messages that my guide wants me to put across to people, is that he's saying that the world that we're in, he seems to think especially the 1980s is a key power point of where we went and got very disengaged from ourselves, especially women, he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking to me about after the Second World War, that the goals and the targets that people had with the best interest at heart sort of got warped. And I mean, I'm coming up to 50, so my age group of being a young female in schools in the 1980s I was a guinea pig for an agenda, and I was being targeted to women. Women should be able to be superwomen. Women, yes, should be empowered. You know, this is the era of Dynasty and Dallas and the big pads on the shoulders and you know, but the women should be able to have everything. But in that message, we lost it somewhere and became we were overcompensating and trying too hard to be everything, to be superwomen, and we just physically could not do it. And this is one of the things that my guide says is caused the illness, and a lot of people who have my illness, and it's not just women, it's to do with a sensitive type of character that wants to take on and fix people or achieve too much from what they can actually do. And it just makes you go bang. And it can come in many forms. And I could name a lot of different illnesses that would fit under this agenda, but I know that it's a growing problem in the world. There's growing numbers of people that are struggling with this illness. And one that you would know would be called fibromyalgia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the type of thing I'm talking about. So my guide's saying to me that the way to come back from this problem, because he's saying it's en masse, it's a big problem. And it's, you know, the more the sensitives are knocked off their feet and unable to sort of stand up and say, the more the ego-based people are going to come barging in and have their say. Whereas it's time to redress the balance. Now, these sensitive people have got so much to say and give that has always been suppressed. Like, you're too sensitive, you're oversensitive, you know, and they've been made to feel weak. So it's time for them to understand their power, but it's going to open like a flower. It's not going to be overnight. Somebody wakes up and decides that they're suddenly going to come out and, you know, hello, darlings, I'm here sort of thing. It's going to open as a flower. So it will be a small sort of grow of courage or small little opportunities that open up for them to put their light to others, such as helping a neighbor or talking to somebody that comes into their world. So I always just say to people to look to Mother Teresa for this advice, because her message was just deal with what's in front of you now. One thing, you're not here to fix the whole planet. If one thing comes into the front, you know, if there's a plant that needs watering, do that. If there's a bird with a bad wing, you know, you deal with that. If there's a person who's not eating, feed them and look after them, do that. And that was her message all through her life. That just mm-hmm. And that's almost like do what God sends you, do what the spirit world sends you, and you do your little bit. And could you imagine if the whole planet decided to just do that, what we would turn around?
It would certainly be a marvelous place.
Yeah, so I would describe it to my followers as, you know, when you go to a concert and everyone holds their phone up and they've all got the light on. When I was young, it used to be lighters, but nowadays it's they hold their phone. And I say, imagine you were looking from a higher dimension and we all just decided to put down everything we were doing and stand outside and hold the light up and connect mm-hmm. with that. Yeah, I want to be the right loving energy. I want to be that person. Imagine if we could look down and see all those lights. My guy telling me that so many people feel this energy of wanting to change the planet, and they need to recognize that they are connecting on such a deep level at the moment with people that they may never meet or never speak to. And the problem is overcoming the fact that they feel so isolated. And this is accelerated with the lockdowns that we've got, with everyone actually being isolated and in their own little house, you know. So mm-hmm. he's saying to me that actually the sensitives have the ability to speak to one another energetically, you know, and they just need to feel that someone out there, someone else in the world also gets this message and is doing their bit too. And if they're going to offer a prayer or just offer just gentle energy into the world or just be kind to the people around them, that's enough. But together, that impact, that's the change that we will see. And it will be, you know, it'll come in like a wave. It'll overturn what we are seeing at the moment, all this turmoil and chaos.
Mm. It's such a beautiful image, actually, that I'm getting about that.
That, to me, that's the new world they're trying to describe to me. And you know, they are saying it takes a while to get there.
Sure. But
they're also saying to me that people such as yourself, you know, we and myself, we feel so strongly and passionately, and we have a lot of information about this. But he's saying to me, we're still early days. We are still the pioneers. Mm. We're small minority voice, and there's still a lot of confused voices out saying other things that are distracting people to go into dark or to fear base. You know, so we just have to hold the light at the moment, of even if it's just in ourselves, in our own heart. All those 2 years that I was unwell, if I just decided that, oh, this is it now, I'll never get better, and this is, I just got to lie in bed now till I'm 99. And, you know, that would have been my light going out. I would not be sat here talking to you now. I just literally held on. That one stitch at a time that I did was just me holding on to what I could. So
Kirsty, I'm feeling the energy of all of that, and what an important message it is for our audience. So I had a couple of questions that came up. This one in particular to your guide, actually. Because one of the questions that came up for me as you were speaking was, what about those who are so fearful of their gifts and are actively rejecting them?
Well, I've helped my daughter through this sort of situation. I mean, I've helped myself, really, I suppose. My daughter's high sensitive. And she can feel energy. She can feel places like residual energy. She can pick up what's gone on in old places. She can feel who's been in the house when she hasn't been. So if I invite someone round, she'll know when she comes in. But she's a high sensitive person. So she's very shy, very anxious sort of character. Very loving, very, very generous, but sort of holds back. And what happened with her was she was having to stay in an old coaching inn when she was younger with her father, where he lived. And she was being harassed by this awful spirit that was telling her nasty things, which took her a long time to tell me, because it frightened her so much. And this experience really put her off having any spiritual gift, as you could imagine. She didn't want to see, you know, seeing nasty people in the world is bad enough. But when you can't control that they can come into your room when you're asleep, when you're supposed to be safe, and, you know, start talking to you about nasty things. And unfortunately, this is the way that a lot of psychics and mediums and spiritual people start. So I can understand why you think that many of them might be fearful, but actually this is not the biggest problem. The biggest problem is those people who are fantasizing this sort of element and thinking that they're seeing things and getting messages, when actually it's their own head. And that's taken me a long, long time to get on top of.
Hmm.
It has to be done through proofs, as I always say to my friends, because I'm a Johnny Depp fan. I always have to mention him. I always say, you know, if I keep telling everyone that I'm going to marry Johnny Depp because I've been told that, until I actually marry him, that's not been told to me, that's me thinking that. Yeah, so I've met many people who've got very confused and entangled with this word twin flame.
Mm-hmm.
And have become obsessed that a certain person that they've met, oh, that's my twin flame. And it is because of this and because of that. And I've read this and it all matches, you know. And actually they don't realize that their own expectation is causing the whole experience, their own experience, their own emotional experiences of life have caused them to be triggered, if you like, by certain experiences that come in and certain emotions. And this is actually the biggest problem, rather than the people who are afraid of, because being afraid can be overcome. Because like I did, I decided to go out and meet a group of people. When I was a very shy young woman, I wasn't confident, but I went off on my own and met a community of people who were supporting one another in doing mediumship and healing and just talking about it as an everyday thing. And, you know, that, so that in that way, that can be overcome. But somebody who is a bit deluded by their own wishes is a more difficult case. That's where I teach about journaling and looking for proofs and, you know, looking for honesty within yourself and really looking at your own shadows and understanding you and who you are and how you tick. It's such an important part of spiritual work, self-responsibility, taking responsibility for who you are, what you think, what you believe, and how you behave. And as you can see at the moment, the planet is really struggling with this, getting out of control, being fueled by a lot of misguided voices, encouraging people. And you can see what happens. It's being causing this chaos. So that's my bigger concern. And that's one of the things that I sort of promote mostly, is this being honest. And you know, I see people on Facebook. I'm live now and I'm a psychic. Sometimes they say they're a TV psychic or they're a evidential psychic. And, you know, they're just using tricks and they're tricking themselves. They're not being guided. So being guided is a slow process of listening and quietening down and knowing who you are and facing your difficulties and surrendering to them, such as my illness. I had to surrender to that. I could not walk or hardly move at some points. And I just had no choice but to surrender to it. And through that, I had to sit and listen for 2 years.
It's amazing, really. I know that you have referred to that time as not being here, not being on this planet.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Well, because where I was out so much out of sync with the world, I mean, the advancements in technology in that time and the expectations of the lockdown that we've had has sort of pushed that very quickly, hasn't it? In the last even 6 months, that now we're seeing children studying online, you know, much more online work happening, much more technology happening within the home. But this wasn't needed in my world. It wasn't important. And so suddenly in the last, well, since November, and I've had to suddenly catch up to speed, I've realized that, you know, I feel like a bit of a lost being, really, trying to work out how you guys all connect. Such a strange thing. You know, I've got all this wisdom and understanding, but I feel like I'm learning almost like a baby again, a lot of practical things. It's very strange, but I am very strange, apparently, so that's okay.
So as we traverse these vibrational frequencies, and our experiences, of course, are so different, what can you share with us about the transition that is taking place from the 3D to the 5D frequency?
Well, you know, have you got a couple of days? We could.
Right? You know, I'm thirsty for you. I do.
Yeah. Well, you know, first of all, let's just look at the first thing you said, 3D to 5D. This is what I've been told. Everything I'm saying to you is what I've been told, because Kirsty doesn't know anything.
Right.
The 5D, we already live in 5D. Some people are more attuned to it. Some people have deliberately gone out of their way to attune it, such as yourself. Anything that's high intuition, sixth sense, you know, healing abilities, mediumship, knowing, any of that, that is all 5D. Your nervous system is the link between your physical body, which is where you understand 3D to be. The third dimension is reality of the world, the physical world, and that's your body. Then you have your nervous system, and your nervous system connects to the higher body and the emotional body, a number of different bodies, the etheric body. And this is where your 5D abilities come from. So you are actually reading all the time out of body experiences. But most humans have been taught from a young age that that's rubbish and taught to ignore it and not believe in it. And so they've sort of switched it off. Think of it as a Wi-Fi that's available, but they're not accessing it. Okay, so we all already live in 5D. All we're going to do is to make it more acceptable and more natural to be having conversations and a knowing that that's what we're living in. That's going to be the first change. Yeah, so my guide has tried to give my followers what he's calling 3 bridges to help them at the moment to understand. And the first bridge is where we are at the moment, January to February, which he's calling the light holders portal. Because when he first came to me back last year and started saying, we want you to start putting things on the internet, he decided to put them into chunks of time, which he called portals, because it was something that that was a word I resonated with. Right. So I was saying, and I need a name for it, and I need like a vision. So he was giving me like stories. He was talking very much to me about how humans resonate with narrative and how we relate to that, and how that's very deep in our psyche, the ancient ability to pass information down through storytelling. And so this is what he's using with me. Right. So this first portal that we're in, the Lightholders portal, is January to February this year. And he said to me that January, this time is going to get quite difficult. We are in very difficult time. We are in quite a dark time. And so all it is he wants light holders, which are light workers, sensitives, anybody who feels that they have an interest in more than the physical world can comprehend, to just hold the space at the moment. Because the temptation that I learned that made me unwell was to try to think that I had to do something, some sort of action to solve and to make things happen, accelerate them maybe to a better space. But as one human, as you can relate to, that's impossible. But what I can do is sit quietly and hold the space, knowing that the spirit world agenda is something that I can't comprehend and is happening around me. So holding the light is about just looking at those basic things of looking after yourself first, self-care, you know, all those self-nurturing things, and then looking to the family and friends, then beyond that, looking to the local community, and beyond that, then looking to the global community. This is the vision that he's given me. So that's the first portal. And then he said to me that we have 2 years where, on a personal level, so anybody who's coming to me for a reading at the moment, we're talking about their 2-year plan. So where they want to be by the 22nd of December, 2022. So if you think about where we just had the solstice that everybody was so excited about, what was going to happen, and then it seemed like, oh, that was the beginning of this 2-year, what he's calling a bridge. Mm-hmm. Now, I asked him to give me a name for this bridge because I like names and I like visuals and I like to give people hope and some sort of story. So he said to me, call it the Creator's Bridge, because he said, you are all the creators of the new. So he's shown me that the Lightholders portal is for people like you and I to hold the light, to allow other people to step onto this bridge. That bridge then is a 2-year transition of them learning about themselves, their own personal experiences, changes in their awareness, their own spiritual journey. And by the time we get to the 22nd of December, 2022, we have more people on board who are creators of the new world, more people who understand that message of love and hope and looking after the best interest and the highest good of the most amount of people, which we're currently not seeing in this world, right? So, which is why so many sensitives are are so disheartened at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all being fueled by the media focusing on all the wrong people and the wrong, you know, energies, showing us, making us feel almost out of control, that we can't win, or we can't find this goodness. And it's just an illusion. The truth is, everyone's heart holds that space. And that's what we are doing now. So we are allowing this new energy to come in. We've just come through a big change of era, as you know. So this is all about bringing that energy and allowing it in. It comes through the hearts of the people, and the particular types of people that my guide has talked about. He gives them names, which I keep moaning because I say to him, I don't really like using these labels, but he's saying they're necessary at the moment. So the one type is the earth angel types. And he's saying that a lot of those types are community workers, such as nurses, staff in old people's homes, childcare assistants, teachers, you know, people that are trying to make a difference on a community level, that are feeling highly overwhelmed at the minute with all the physical difficulties of the red tape and the politics and the, you know, the demands of being in that sort of world. And those people going through so much adversity, but they will win because their heart knows that seeing the way to making life better for the vulnerable and for the young and for those, you know, the good people, that's going to make the new world. You know, those are going to be the new leaders, those people. So this 2 years, we have a big chance to sort of learn so much about ourselves, to find our own path, and to sort of just maybe hold the light towards a few people around us, and, you know, maybe pass that flame to a couple of people. I've had a few people contact me saying they did a video on Facebook, and that was because they got their bravery from looking at me. And I'm thinking, oh, that's fantastic. That's, you know, you can't beat that, sharing that little flame. So that's the first two bridges. And what he's really talking about us is getting us all getting to 2032. So anybody listening, I don't know how old you're all going to be at that point, but at the minute, 2032 is the beginning of this new era that we think we're in now. We're in this sort of pathway to it, right? So the more people, that's 12 years away, the more people that are on board with that message, can you think if we could accelerate that and get more people on board with the right message, how the world would be ready to start making changes to its politics and its communities and its values, right? So we're going to go through this vast change. So one of the other groups that my guide talks about with this two-year bridge that will be affected is the creatives. And that is people who make music, who are artists, anybody who's got any sort of creative interest. You could include us in that, of course. You know, right? So any creatives are highly sensitive, but they're not the same as the highly sensitive people. They work in bursts of energy and they are channeled. So they'll feel very flat and they'll feel writer's block sensation. It's like there's nothing happening, nothing's moving. And then all of a sudden they'll think, oh, and they'll have to go to the piano or their computer or their pen and paper, and it will all start to flood out. Now, he's saying to me that these types, the creatives, are currently suppressed because of the world circumstances. Well, we know that. But he's saying that this spring, 2021, the spirit world are just getting ready to prepare to come in and work with so many of these creative people, because they have the power to influence the masses on social thinking, social change. Right. So if they want to talk or sing or draw about issues, it gets to people more quickly than any other method, especially when you're looking at groups of people like teenagers or young people. So the creatives are going to have a boost this year. But ultimately, what my guy's trying to explain to me is that where we are now, when we were in 2020 and we stepped off this bridge, the end of 2020, and that we had the solstice, we knew this was an end of an era, but we didn't know what the new one was, and we still don't. And this is why we're all a little bit in the dark, which is why we need to hold the light. You know, we are seeing a transition from a land that we did used to know, all of us. So I talked about when I was a young woman in the 1980s and I was at school, That land does not exist. Those values do not exist. The politics, the people, nothing exists of that life. I cannot return to it apart from in my mind. So this is like where we are now. We are sort of in a bit of no man's land, but how he wants to describe it is one foot in one world, one foot in another. And we have to secure ourselves into this new manifested world, which he's showing me sort of with two islands, which is brilliant because I live on an island, so I relate to that. So I love living on this island with all the sea around it, and the sea air is the most cleansing thing ever. It's wonderful to have that. But I can go, you know, I only have to drive 20 to 25 minutes any direction and I can sit on the beach.
Mm.
So what he's showing me is that the land that we knew, the world that we knew, the reality that was manifested, that we all thought we were into, we thought we were plugged into, that we knew, that we used to get up, do this, go here, go there, see this person. Even the things that we eat have changed, according to him. Now, we cannot return to that. But so many people in this time of confusion are waiting for things to go back. You know, it's okay because when things go back, I'll be able to get on. And this is the message. There is no going back. We are going forward. And so the guide is saying the forward is getting people onto the bridge and getting them to realize that's safe and that's where they're meant to be. And on that bridge, they are the builders, they're the architects, they're the creators, they're the visionaries. They're the leaders. So whatever you hold in your heart and your mind while you're on this bridge for 2 years is what will be created or manifested. So where we look at the whole of us on this whole planet, whatever we're all thinking and feeling will create where we step off, if you understand what I'm saying. So basically he's trying to show me that 2032 is a really key time, which is 12 years time. It's so fascinating to me because recently I've noticed that Diana Cooper's work, and I don't normally resonate with her, but I noticed she's written for a long time about 2032, and I had no idea. She's calling that the golden age. So there's something there about what she's saying. You know, this has been something that's been known for a while. And we create this new land. We build the bridge, we go along it, and along that bridge we learn to connect, to get on with each other, to see the darknesses in the humanity set up, you know, the systems that we have, and to decide to change them, and to decide which people need to be helped more and what we value and what we prioritize. So over the time of crossing that bridge, we go through this huge transition as a humanity. So the 2 years that we've got coming up is sort of like a prepping time for self preparation, and it is really asking those who are at the sort of high end of this leadership of this new world to really be on top of cleansing themselves and checking in with themselves and making sure they are saying things that are correct and sharing things that are helpful on social media, for example, and thinking about what they're saying, whether it the words that they're saying are resonating well for the world or whether they are just causing more drama. And so I think what we're seeing is people will start to turn away from all this drama, because I think eventually we're just going to get bored with it.
Mm-hmm.
And people are going to turn away. Oh, I've had enough, you know, turn the news off, fed up of looking at this. Right, now where's my crochet? Yeah, let's get back to some basics. And while they're doing their crocheting, for making their little presents for their grandchildren or daughters or whatever, they'll be thinking of lovely, grounding, healing energy that will be the future. I don't think I'll live long enough to see that future, but I want to know that my future generations do. I want to know that I've been a big part of bringing them a better world. So, you know, my guide said to me about three themes of this whole thing. The first one is environmental. And he tells me this is the main theme because this affects everything. And this is where we're coming back into people's eating habits. He's saying to me, so many people are allergic to food they just used to eat. They can't can't tolerate the same food, and they still keep going back to it because it's what they know. And then, oh, I've upset my tummy again, or, you know. So we have really got to unplug ourselves from who we used to be in every way, more than humans have ever had to do before. We've got to be so emotionally mature and think, okay, this is like a reboot. I'm reset. I'm anew. Because we are, we have been through a big energetic reset. We are different. Okay? So environment is the first thing that humans are going to be channeled to work with. And he's saying to me, they're going to work with world leaders. And he's saying there's a lot of fear-based energy around at the moment, bringing this the wrong agenda and telling people the wrong story, and they need to trust. The angelic realms have a clear mission to work with this. Elemental people who are living now, those who are guided by the elements, they will understand, they will feel this calling. Okay, the environment's the key issue. And then the other two underneath, which support them, which are the foundation. The first one is community, which is looking at every human as equal, equal in value, equal in worth, and equal of deserving, which currently we don't do. We think we do, or some of us think we do, but en masse, the world does not do this. And the third thing he's calling, which I did question him on, and he said to me, well, he wanted me to say the word connection. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, well, what about medical? What about technology? And he said, they come under connection. Mm. So what he's shown me is a triangle with community and connection at the bottom. So working together. So connection as in real time, but also as in the unknown connections that you have with people you'll never meet. People who also came to this planet to have this agenda. And if you have those moments where you think, I can't do this, this is overwhelming me, I can't cope with all this, sit still and just feel that energy resonating of all those people across the planet who are working on this positive agenda and who get you and have got your back, even though you can't see it. So that triangle is the strength of where we're going. And then he's asking me to remind you of this, the four pillars, which is the, you start with yourself. So it's lots of self-care, self-nurturing, what's right for you, checking in on yourself, looking at your own shadows. Then with that learning, you start to help those near to you, your family and friends. And then you keep coming back to self. And then you gradually, when you feel more confident, you expand that to the local community. Even if that's just chatting nicely to the old lady in front of you in the queue at the post office, then you bring it back through the friends and family link through to self again, and then right through to the fourth pillar, which is the global, where you recognize yourself as a global member of humanity, which we only just beginning to understand and perceive that concept as humans. We know it, but we don't perceive the real implications of one, the one and the many, the one and the all. Yes. I've talked too much, haven't I?
everything that
I've got two guides stood here, and they both come from completely different energy spaces. So the one that's done all that talking for you there, that's the very serious scholarly one. The other one just quietly sitting eating an apple for some reason. It's funny, but well, you know, this is my life. I live with these characters.
Well, I want to thank your guides for being so crystal clear, and for you being so crystal clear in being able to receive their messages for us. I want you to know that it is a privilege for us to have had this time with you and with them, and that I will cherish this always.
That means everything. So thank you. Because like, I would like to imagine that I could go back in time to myself, maybe 18 months ago, when I was just starting to be able to go and sit in a chair downstairs quietly and manage to watch a TV program for about half an hour without feeling very unwell. And I would love to envision going to myself and telling her what you've just said. Mm-hmm. To give me the strength to get to where I am now. Because as you know, everything's happening all at once.
Yes.
There's no such thing as linear time. So thank you. That's been a big part of my healing, hearing you say that.
Yes. Well, It comes from the deepest parts of my heart. I feel like I have had a light bath. And it's absolutely beautiful. Unfortunately, we do have to close our conversation, but I look forward to many more if that aligns with you. And I'd like, first off, Christy, can you please tell our audience, how can they find you?
Right. This is a difficult question for me to answer because, you know, I am everything about avoiding being a big ego person. And
well, that's good.
Big I am. Mm-hmm. Even to the point where I've had people asking me, we need a title. What are you? And I honestly don't know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a me. Okay. But I do most of my writing and talking and things on Facebook. So if you find me on Facebook as Kirsty Elizabeth, I'll be pleased to see you there. Just follow, because I think I've got so many friends, I can't actually accept any anymore. So just follow. And I do some on Instagram too, Kirsty Elizabeth messages. But I think if my guides want people to find me, they feel that we have to connect, that will happen. So I look forward to seeing those people who are brought to me in that way.
And I do as well. I also want to thank your guides for one more thing, and that is for doing such a superb job of answering every question that I had.
Good. I'm glad they did, because without them, I wouldn't know what to say. Honestly, while we're talking, I've almost gone into a trance, and I'll have to listen back to hear mm-hmm. some of it, because I'll have to I'll be interested myself to hear what they wanted to say. So it's hard to explain to people, but you know, what those people who get to know me, I hope that comes across as genuine and not some sort of gimmick, because that's not my intention. I'm not bothered about trying to be known, or I'm just trying to help those who come into my space, that's all.
Well, you've done a beautiful job, so thank you so very much, and I'm again very grateful, and I will cherish this. And so for all of our audience, please share this conversation that Kirsty and I have had. It is filled with so much important, wonderful, high vibrational information. And the more that we share it, the more that our purpose will be clear unto us. And so for anyone, of course, wanting to reach out to me, my website is heartshiftcoach.com. And I look forward, and I'm sure Kirsty does as well, to hearing all of your comments and sharing any questions that you might have. We are open to receiving them. And of course, looking forward to the next time when we're all together, relishing in this pure energy of light and love. So thank you so much, Kirsty. Thank you so much to your guides and to Source itself that has brought us together. And of course, to our beautiful, beautiful audience. So thank you so very much, everyone. And we'll be speaking soon.